results of the election have obviously been on my mind. I imagine that in one way or another they've been on everyone else's mind as well. It's brought out in many ways the worst, both in the candidates that we had to choose and then after the election, the results and the response of so many people to the results of the election. And it's hurtful, vitriolic, thoughtless in so many ways. And I know that even for Connie and I, you're listening to what people are saying, reading the things that people are posting, and even for us, some of our kids posting things that, if they actually thought about it, are slaps on us for being conservative. And we've actually had to ask ourselves, I'll talk about Facebook. Should I unfriend some of these people? Should I stop the things that they're posting from appearing as though it's something that I want everyone else that's friends with me to see? And how should I relate to these people? What should I say? Or should I say anything? Should I end relationships because of the things that are being said right now? And I think those are questions that are, depending on your family situation, your work situation, the friends, the people that you talk to, you may or may not have faced some of that. When the discourse gets so far off track that you really wonder whether you should subject yourself to it anymore. And I thought about that, as I've said, and this message is actually going to be about relationships. Choosing some of the things we should weigh, some of the things we should look at as we decide who we give our time and our attention to, and some of the values that the Bible talks about. I won't cover all of them. There isn't any way because it's a complicated subject. There's a modern phrase. There's an app for that. You know, anything you want to do, there's an app for that. Well, in the Bible, there's an example for that. There's always an example that we can find that relates to the questions we have about relationships, about being a Christian, about how we should deal with some of the problems we face. And there are a number of examples that we could turn to today that deal with one aspect of this or another. I've obviously chosen one that we're going to look at. And the example we're going to look at today comes from Ruth. For those who are going to write down my title, I've titled this Ruth's Choice. Her story does tell us of someone who was faced with a choice of a relationship, which relationships she kept, which relationships she gave up. And while we aren't in the exact same situation as Ruth is, or Ruth was, the lessons that we can learn from her apply both right now when things are difficult, but really, most of these will apply throughout our life and how we develop relationships, what we focus on, where we give our time. So I think you'll find as we go through this that it will be helpful to you both now and going into the future. So let's begin in Ruth and read part of her story. And that's, again, all we're going to do is read part of her story, really up until she gets to the point of making the choice that we're looking at, and then we're going to talk about why she did that and how she did that. So we'll begin right at the very beginning, Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and read the story. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land of Israel. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife, and his two sons. So his name was Judah. lived in Bethlehem, and because of the famine, they left Israel and moved to the country of Moab. Oh, I guess I missed this. Bethlehem, Judah, I was thinking that was his name, but it isn't. His name is Elimelech. Elimelech. There's a good one for you. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. So the man, his wife, and two sons moved out of the country. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left along with her two sons. So again, follow the story. She left. They were in a foreign country, living in a foreign country as foreigners, and her husband died. So then her two sons, verse 4, took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. So we find, because of bad circumstances, a family moved away from Judah, moved away from the land where they had an inheritance, moved away, gave up everything that they knew, everything that they believed, well, not believed, everything that they held dear because of a famine, and moved to a land where they could survive. And they did it to survive. And I'm sure it was a hardship. It wasn't. If there was a famine in Israel, you can be sure that Moab was also affected by the famine. Maybe not as bad, but they were affected as well. So there was hardship, and then the husband died, and the wife didn't have a family. And then her sons married Moabites. Probably broke their mother's heart. Probably broke their mother's heart. Naomi was righteous. She believed God's law. She believed in what God had commanded. And one of those commands was to marry within the tribe of Israel. Yet her sons didn't do that. She probably blamed herself. This wouldn't have happened if my husband was still alive. He wouldn't have allowed it. But what did I do wrong? What should I have done differently? And they lived for 10 years. But as happens sometimes, things didn't just all of a sudden get better. We'll read verse 5. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived, her two sons and her husband. So now Naomi is left with none of her blood family. Her two sons have died, her husband's dead. She's living in a foreign country with her two daughter-in-laws. Not a happy time. We'll continue reading now in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So she heard the famine, the drought was getting better in Israel. There was actually crops and there was food. So she wanted to get up and leave. Therefore she went from the place where she was and her two daughters, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return to your mother's house. You don't want to go with me. You should go back to your people. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." So she basically blessed them and said, "I know that you're not going to want to go with me. You're going to want to go back to your family, your culture, your tribe, all of the things that you grew up in. And the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." So both daughters-in-law said, "No, we want to go with you." Then Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that you can maybe find a replacement for the sons that died? Is there some reason? Why would you want to do that? Turn back, my daughters, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them? So she says, not only am I not pregnant, I don't have any possibility that you can marry back into this family by waiting until I have sons and then they grow up. I don't have a husband either. So it's so far removed, the chance that you could be recognized and come back into my house when I return to Israel, that it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. So in verse 13, would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You know, Naomi felt kind of sad, sorry for herself. She felt like it wasn't fair that she had lost what she had lost. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So the two daughters, you know, started saying, we want to go with you. We want to be there for you. We want to help you. I'm sure that as you read Naomi's story and her example, she was a good example. She was a good mother-in-law. She treated them well. She more than likely included them in the family, made them feel part of the family, even though she knew that it wasn't what God would have wanted. And the women were both attached to her. And then we get to her, she made her kind of her final argument, and one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, said, well, okay, I guess you've got a point. I do want to have a husband. I do want, that's important to me. I do want that. I'm going to go back to my family. Or actually, if you read in there, she would go back to her husband and her husband's, no, her in-law's family. What did she say? Anyway, she was going to go back to Moab and go back to live in that culture. But Ruth stayed. Ruth stayed. She made a choice of who she was going to associate with, who she wanted to spend time with. And so did Orpah. The difference is, as far as our records go, we never hear from Orpah again. But we do hear from Ruth. And we do know that it was a wise decision that she made. And we do know that God's hand was actually in making that decision. But we also, the story continues a little bit here, and we're going to read a couple more verses because we find out why Ruth made the choice that she did. And that's really kind of the starting point for where we're going to go with this message and looking at why she made those choices and what they were. So let's begin reading in verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Don't plead with me. Don't beg me to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. I'm with you forever, for the rest of your life. And there also will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth had a deep commitment to Naomi. Certainly a love for Naomi. And the first point I'd like to make is Ruth stood there and compared her choices. She looked at her choices. I can go back to Moab. I know what to expect there. I know what the culture is like. I know what they believe. I know, you know, probably she would say, I know how I was looked upon and how I was treated back there. Or I can stay with Naomi. And all I know is Naomi. I don't know Israel. I don't know. I don't have any experience about that. But I know, excuse me, I know Naomi, and I know what she stands for. I know what she represents. I know the kind of person she is, and I know that it's that relationship is good for me. The way I wrote it down is Ruth's choice was that she chose to make her closest bond with someone who was going to make her a better person, that was going to be the best for her. Ruth grew up in Moab. She had friends in Moab. She had family in Moab. I'm sure, you know, blood relatives that were there. But she saw something different in Naomi. She saw, well, I guess what you'd have to say, she saw righteousness. She saw someone who God was actually directing or wanted God to direct their life. So she chose to make that closest bond with someone who would make her better through that association. She said, don't ask me to leave. Don't ask me to turn around. I'm going to stay with you. I need to stay with you. I need to be here. And when we look at our lives and we look at how we bond with other people, we bond for a number of different reasons. Sometimes it's common interests. Sometimes it's because they're close to our age. Sometimes it's because they have maybe to begin with, it's married couples that are bonding with other married couples because you're newly married. And then you have kids and you become bonded with people who have kids your age as well. Sometimes you bond with people because you're working together and spending all of those hours together. What it seems like a lot of the time, and of course, you know, this is from my experience, but also trying to pay attention to what's going on with other people around me as well. We tend to gravitate toward people who are just like us. Just like us. Because it's comfortable. Because they're going to agree with us most of the time. You know, we're going to get along because we see the world the same way. We think about things the same. We aren't going to argue about stuff. We aren't going to fight as much. You know, we'll laugh at the same things and we'll have fun. We'll joke about the same things and read the same kind of books and go to the same kind of movies. And all of those bonds are necessary and they're natural. They're natural. But in the context of what we're talking about, choosing someone who makes us better, that's not always the way we should make our choice of who we focus on, who we try to bond with. Because a lot of times, when people are just like us, they just reinforce the same weaknesses because they have the same weaknesses. They have the same problems. If you stood Ruth and Naomi side by side, or put them in a lineup and said, okay, pull the two people out of here that should become friends, become tight, become more than just friends, but very, very, very close, you wouldn't pick them. Young Moabite, an older Israelite woman. Different experiences, and yet we see from Ruth's example, you know, and actually Naomi's too, because Ruth was good for Naomi. And you'll see that if you read more of the story, because we're not going to go through the rest of the story. So when you're thinking about who you bond with, rather than just letting chance happen, it's not a bad idea to try to find that person that makes you better. That challenge you. Now, when I say that, and you start talking about challenges, we're just talking about a husband and wife, right? They're the ones that challenge you the most, and they're the ones that, you know, hopefully actually do make you better. But let's go beyond that and talk about friendship. Think about somebody who challenges you, who questions some of your, not basic beliefs. I think, you know, trying to be best friends with a Hindu as a Christian probably isn't the best thing in the world. But within the body, if you've talked to people a lot, you find some people who look at things a little differently. You still see the result. You still see the fruits of God's Spirit in their life. You still see that they are growing, that they still have that same commitment. But they just seem to, instead of agreeing with you, well, what about this, though? What do you think about that? What about this? And give some consideration to whether you include that person in your life in a better way. Finding people that make each of us better is important, is a good thing. It's something that we become better for it. Because our strengths and weaknesses are balanced out a little bit. And they're actually pointed out. One of the things that you see so much, it really comes to the fore, I think, when you look at what's going on right now, is there are very few people who really listen anymore. They really don't listen. Their mind is made up. They're the smartest person in the world. They've got it all figured out. And if you don't agree with them, there's something mentally wrong with you, because any smart person would see the world the way they do. And learning to listen is one, I think it's one of the fun things about being in a congregation. Learning to listen to how other people think about things and what they think about, and find out why they believe the things that they do and think the things that they do is a great thing. It's one of the reasons we're all called together, is to experience that. So what I'll say is one of Ruth's choices was to choose that person who made her better. And I would certainly want, I encourage you, both now and going into the future, give some of your energy, some of your time to the people who will make you a better person. The next choice that Ruth made was contained in one of the statements. She said, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go." So Ruth's choice was to go in a different direction that would take her toward righteousness, ultimately. Ruth wanted to continue moving in a direction that she felt would bring her to righteousness. And when she looked at it from that standpoint, her choice was easy. Again, it made that choice easy because she knew what Moab was like, and she knew what Naomi was like. And Naomi was an example. I talked about in the announcements about letting your light shine. She let her light shine so that Naomi could see what she believed and the rightness and goodness of it. So focus, again, in our relationships, that choice is to choose someone who helps us move in the right direction, who keeps us moving in the right path. There's something about Christianity, or the way that human nature responds to it, I guess, that tends for many of us to focus on the negative side of things. That, you know, the first thing that you see when you look at something isn't the good, you know, like the scripture I read, the good, the virtuous, the true, the honest, the uplifting. It's to see the things that are wrong with it and that are bad with it. And if we allow that to be our default nature, or if we allow ourselves to, if we are immersed and that's who we are around, is basically people who think that way, we're going to look that, think that way as well. And again, I don't see that Christians are supposed to be a glass half empty kind of people. You know, we talk about that, oh, I'm a glass half empty, I'm a glass half full. We use that as an excuse rather than to project hope, to project criticism or the a negative side of things. That doesn't mean that you blind yourself to those, but Ruth was going towards someone who was helping her and was uplifting her. Another choice that Ruth made is contained in the next statement that she made. Your people will be my people. She was saying, I will no longer be of Moab. I will no longer hold to those beliefs, to that culture. I'm going to make your people my people. I'm going to immerse myself in that group that you came from. I'm going to follow those laws. I'm going to live the way that they live. I'm going to do what they believe is right. And I'm going to bond with them. And as I said, we're talking about personal relationships and who we choose and how we choose. And some of us are committed to spending as much time as we can with people in the church. We would do everything we can. We would go above and beyond to try to spend time with God's people because we see that that environment is where we should be. Those are the relationships that we should work on the most. And those are the people we should know the most. And sometimes, some people, you know, in different stages and going through different parts of their life, don't have that same desire. If you've been in the church a long time, you've probably found that in yourself. Both of those things. Sometimes where you can't wait to be around God's people, and sometimes where you have to really force yourself just to get up and get out of bed and go somewhere. But what Ruth recognized and what we need to remember is that this is where God's Spirit is. And this is where God's government is, if you want to go that far. And it's one of those places where we should love to go, love to be. Most of the time in my life, when I've been the one that, just dragging myself out of bed, and I can barely get over there, and I really have to think, do I really want to go? Am I really going to get up and go? It's because I'm not where I should be. You know, I've let things slide. I haven't been close enough to God. I haven't been thinking about things. I haven't prepared myself. And when we find ourselves there, you know, it's one of those things that maybe if you think about, if you've bonded with people here, like we should, there's a stronger desire to be there. If you're just kind of on the periphery, or you really, you know, use the excuse, well, I'm a shy, reserved, quiet person, so I'm not going to get to know anyone, you're never going to have that strength that comes from making those bonds. And Ruth recognized that, and the reason the example and reminder is there for us is that we need to recognize that as well, that strength comes from being around people that have the strength that we need. And there's strength here. Every one of us is weak, but together, there's a pretty good chunk of God's Holy Spirit floating around in the room. Every one of our little pieces added together. And this is where you should want to be. This is the country you should want to live with and live in as much as possible. I remember a hymn that used to be sung at the feast. I haven't heard it in a long time. A lot of our feast music has kind of gone away from all those old-timey ones, and they're more modern, which is nothing wrong with that. But I do miss some of those old ones because it's so much a part of my history. And one of those hymns, part of the words, is, "No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another. So I will defend each man as my brother and each man as my friend." Yes, choir pieces that was read or sung many times. We can't be an island and be successful as Christians. And Ruth recognized that, and I hope that we can all recognize that. Another one of Ruth's choices, again, echoed or comes to us through one of the statements that she made. "And your God will be my God." Your God will be my God. She is coming from a society that worshipped multiple gods, believed in all kinds of different spirits. And yet, she changed that and recognized that there was only one God that she should give her allegiance to. She chose God. Ruth's choice was God. And I know all of us here have, on the big picture, chosen God. We're here because of that. But I also know that every one of us, through the course of the week, through the course of the month, if you're really righteous and it wasn't in the week, chose a different God for some period of time. You chose to make something else more important than it should have been. And that's not comfortable to think about, but it does happen. If you were, instead of praying and studying, you sat down to watch the election results, you were putting something else in front of the God that we all have committed ourselves to. And that's just one example. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can find other examples of that. Ruth said, "I choose one God. And I'm going to put my allegiance with that one God, and that's who will be my God." And that's a choice that we all should make as well. And again, when we're talking about relationships and we're talking about who we spend our time with, we should do everything within our abilities to choose to give our time to those who are going to have given their time to the same God. Now, that doesn't mean that you turn your back on everybody else. That would be the last thing that a Christian should do. That would not be letting your light shine. Because you don't know whether you are that person, who makes someone else a better person. That if you turn your back on them, you're taking that opportunity away from them. You don't know if your example doesn't help someone else eventually see who God truly is and who they want to follow and recognize, just like Ruth recognized with Naomi, there's a better life that person seems to have a grasp on. So none of what I'm talking about is in any way endorsing shut yourself up, lock yourself away, don't have any conversation with anybody else that isn't part of God's church, don't give your time to them, don't do anything with them. This is about choosing where our focus is. And focus isn't all of your time. Focusing on these things allows you to be that better person for someone else. And that's what we want. There's been one person in my life who's come into the church because of me, and that is Connie. Maybe in spite of me. It isn't like my example is just bringing people to God right now. And I would hope that it isn't that bad of an example, that that's the reason why it's not happening. But I guarantee you there will be a time when people will be opened to God's truth, and that's when that example will, oh, well, now I understand. Now I see what that life can be like. And I'm aware of the example that I set around all those carnal heathen people that are out there in the world. Why? Because I want that example to be what they remember. So I wanted to make that clear, because it's very easy when you start talking about your focus and focusing yourself within the church to think that means turn your back on other people. And that isn't at all what God would have us to do. One final statement that Ruth made and one final choice that we're going to talk about today. And again, these are all interrelated. Ruth said, "Where you die, I'm going to die. Nothing but death is going to separate me from you." She chose to make a forever commitment. She chose to make a forever commitment. And within our relationships, that can be difficult sometimes. There have been people that I've been close to that I would have said at one time were very close friends. And yet they're not now. I didn't make a forever commitment to them, even though on some levels I wish that I had. So when you're talking about the relationships and which relationships you choose, again, put your focus on forever commitments. Which can be anyone. I'm not going to say forever commitments can only be with people in the church, because forever means forever, and there will be a time where everyone that we know will hopefully be part of God's family. But try not to just let your commitments be, well, this is who I'm hanging around with this month, so this is who I'll really, you know, commit my time to. Try to make those deep commitments with people that you bond with. We're living in tough times right now. There's a lot of emotion floating around out there. A lot of bad emotions, let's put it that way. Emotions that I think in many cases people will be sorry for once they settle down and they grow up and put their big boy pants on. It's just my feeling about some of them. So, when you're thinking about, boy, should I stop having anything to do with these people? Should I unfriend them? Should I walk away from them because of what they're saying right now? Or going into the future because they said something hurtful to you? Think about the bigger issues of those relationships. Think about some of the choices that Ruth made that we've gone over. And before you give up on those things, really think about whether there's a way to salvage them that becomes positive and that becomes long-lasting. Because remember, again, our job right now is to be a light to the world. And if you choose to end a relationship with someone outside of the church, you have no chance of being a light to them. So, as I said, there's a lot of emotion going on. There's a lot of short-sightedness in the people, what things people are saying and doing. Let's make sure that we don't make decisions short-sightedly as well. We know God's truth. We know God's plan. We know what God has in store for people. And we should be able to take some difficulty. We should be able to handle that. Ruth made some excellent choices. She made choices that made her life better, made it better than what it was. Chose relationships that helped her and supported her rather than ones that would have caused her trouble. And I always think one of the, and this is a little bit of a side point, well, one of the cool things about Ruth and her story and the choice that she made is that she, because of her choice, she became part of David's line. Her husband was part of David's, well, her lineage became part of David's lineage. And David's lineage, in turn, led to Christ, was part of Christ's lineage. So a simple choice, you know, we are not, our choices are never going to be that momentous, I don't believe, as far as the people that we choose and how we go about things. But our choices on the relationships that we focus on can have long-lasting impact. It isn't just necessarily even with us today, but it can extend far beyond that. And I think that's a very interesting and some part of her story that you have to give thought to. So think about Ruth. Think about that example. Think about who you should make your relationships with. Think about the kind of person you want to be to give back in a relationship. When you're confronted with that question, do I stop my relationship with that person? Do I give up on them? Do I walk away from them? What I'd like you to consider in the future is the things that we've talked about today. I'd like you to consider Ruth's choices.